B-Pod Studios.
All right, we are recording.
Latasha's distracting me by doing weird dances.
That mean, happens. Like, Norris, you're already married. Like, that's just what married life is. Like, you know the number of times...
We're already married, basically.
I was about to say, if that's what marriage is, then damn, I've been married a while.
No, listen, Sarah will be in here doing, like, RNG&T or, like, her alien game, and I will literally walk in here and, like, put food in front of her and then just, like, glomp on her.
I'm not going to tell you the distractions I do to keep her workplace.
Oh, my. Oh, okay. Well, that was recorded, so...
You guys are weird. I can't stand you. Anyway, it was funny though.
Classic.
All right,
classic and classy.
I see. All right, here we go. Hold on. All right, here we go. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. Akaza, it is Friday, so that means that we're doing the show from home. It is very much so Friday for me. I have yet to take the trash out, and so if the sound sounds a little bit better, it's because I have Amazon boxes dampening the sound across the entire apartment. As usual, joined by the dynamic duo, also known as Cali Scales and Chad Callahan. What's up?
What's up? I gotta tell you, today is the most Friday that ever Fridayed the Friday. Like, that's where it is at. I am ready for this day to be over, and I've got like 4 meetings left today. I'm not happy about it.
Me too. I'm excited to have this, but have daily. But it's one of those days where I'm also excited to be done with daily.
I'll just be excited when the day is over.
No, it's because you guys make the mistake of having people put stuff on your calendar later in the evening. I front load all my days, so after daily, I'd be pretty much done.
You know what? Typically, I do front load my days as well, except today, my day was front loaded and back loaded.
Yeah, well, mine too.
Anyway, nobody wants to hear about our professional gripes.
That's true.
You sure?
I am positive that nobody wants to turn into a white collar daily and listen to people talk about, oh man, so many things are on my calendar.
Yeah, that's nobody fair. Cares. How about we talk about video games instead?
I guess.
That sounds real good. So here's what's happening in the world of video games.
All right, so if you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, man, I just can't find a PlayStation 5. Well, you're not alone. In fact, every PS5 is sold out. That's according to Sony themselves. we got to talk about this. The Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5, by the numbers, by like raw numbers, had the worst debut of a console in recent times. Like, they did terribly by raw numbers, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Of course, everyone wants one. The demand is insane on these consoles. No one can get one. The supply chain is so screwed up, no one can get one of these things.
Yeah, it's real bad. And I mean, obviously, we know that COVID has affected a ton of things, and the supply chain for consoles is no different. However, I still think both of these folks have drastically underestimated what the demand for these consoles was going to be, man. I think a lot of the calculus went into, oh, it's COVID. A lot of people probably aren't going to have a disposable income, this, that, and the third. But there's a lot of people who like got stimulus checks earlier in the year and didn't spend them. You know, the people who were still working, people who could work from home, a lot of those folks did not spend their stimulus check. They saved it precisely for this moment.
See, I think it's something far more sinister than that.
You think it's the Nintendo model?
Oh, I think it's that to the extreme. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here. I think that indeed the rumors are true and Sony is eating a massive loss on this console. I think they're not profiting on the console. And since there aren't a lot of games out yet to help make up for that profit loss, they are purposefully staggering out the console's release to eat it in both Q4 and Q1.
Okay. You know what? That's not a bad theory.
No, it's a terrible theory, because if it's true, that's horrific. You assholes.
I know. I'm just saying it's not a bad theory, as in like it makes sense. But because like I can't get behind the whole we didn't expect this. That
yeah,
Nora
there's
expected.
No way. Reason, I don't believe that.
I could give you one example, 100% why I don't believe it. It's because the Nintendo Switch was unavailable once again once the pandemic set, because people wanted to play it while they were in this pandemic. You know what I mean? Like that alone should set the precedence of, oh, hey, you know, maybe people do want a game right now. Maybe that is the way that people are escaping from reality right now. There's no way they didn't see this coming. Come on.
No, I mean, listen, I was trying to give them the benefit of the doubt and not be a negative Nancy all the time.
No.
Instead, no, it is absolutely you guys are spot on. It probably is scummy business tactics. But, you know, both of these consoles are completely sold out across America, at least North America. You can't go and get them. I went and checked on multiple websites today in preparation for the show just to see if they were available. And literally at the moment of restock for Walmart, they sold out of them in a matter of seconds.
Yep, we tried. I mean, Rob and I tried to get them again yesterday, and nope, that wasn't happening. This is true, by the way. In Europe, they had 13 of them for sale, something like that. Maybe I'm grossly underestimating the number. The point is, there was nothing available for sale. They're sold out in Japan. And yes, part of me wants to give them credit and just say, listen, it's COVID. The supply chain is completely screwed up everywhere right now. But come on. You've been getting ready for this release now for years. You've had 7 months, 10 months of COVID to know that this is what it was going to be like. This is not good. This is a terrible launch.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a terrible launch all the way around. Sony in particular, because at least there's, I guess, another console offering coming from Microsoft. But
right.
Sony has bungled this. I mean, all the way around, and I agree with you guys. It has to be some scummery involved, because if you haven't taken into account the pandemic, then that borders on just negligence.
That's
just
malfeasance on your part. Your CEO should be launched out of a cannon if that's the case.
Well, part of me wants to blame not necessarily like the demand part of it, but part of me wants to blame all these kind of like Target and Walmart and Amazon and like kind of not having the sense to kind of prep for all these glitches that I'm seeing too, because I've been seeing a lot of people like, okay, it's in my cart, but I can't buy it. You know, it's like things like that that are really irritating, that are taking everybody's time, wasting resources.
But it's really hard for an online retailer to account for something like that, right? Let's say you're in, you know, a really more remote place of the country. Let's say you're in South Dakota. Let's say you're in, you know, Idaho or something like that. And you're trying to compete with people who are in these big cities who have much higher ping, faster internet, all this other stuff. So, yeah, it is in your cart. But you've gotten beaten to the product by other people who just simply have faster internet and can refresh their cart faster. So, I mean, it sounds silly and very sort of almost trying to hand wave it away. But it really is true in many cases that when it comes to the online retailers, I think, yes, they could have done a better job. But there's only so much they're going to be able to do if Sony sends them five consoles.
Yep.
Like, it's supply and demand. The demand is far outweighing the supply, which is why I'm not about to break my neck to try to get one even for this holiday season. If one comes along and I can get one before Christmas, great. If not, I'm not sweating it, dude, because there's already issues with console, as there always are. There's all this other stuff that happens when it comes to the online retailers being able to actually physically get one in hand. I'm not about to go out here and fight people over a PlayStation. I'll get one. I'm not tripping.
All right. So the developers of the Hitman series, IO, have dropped a new teaser trailer, but not for a Hitman game. It's for a James Bond game, which it has been a minute since we've had a James Bond game. What do you guys think about this?
I want to like it, but I'm leaning on I'm going to hate it.
It's hard to say, right? Because like the teaser trailer shows literally nothing. Like literally nothing. So we have no concept of what the game's going to be like, other than to say probably a stealth-based shooter of some kind, I would assume.
I kind of wish the makers of, Splinter Cell would have done this instead. I feel like that would have been a better kind of correlation between James Bond and Splinter Cell more than I see the Hitman versus James Bond. I get why, maybe a little bit.
I disagree. I think IO Interactive is a great, you know, they have a great studio that I think can make a really good James Bond game. I just don't know what James Bond game they're going to make. Because if they just make another Hitman game and put a James Bond skin over it,
yeah, I don't want
be
that.
Furious.
Yeah.
I don't think they would. I don't think they would, and for the sole reason that Hitman is so iconic in the way it feels and plays, that if you just threw James Bond on it, I think people are cognizant of it. Oh, my screen went blank and it scared me. Sorry. Anyways, I think people are cognizant of it.
Yeah, I get scared of that, though, because, like, we're in a post-COVID world now, right? So they're not about to build a whole new engine from the ground up. They're not going to do that. They're going to use an engine they're already familiar with, which I can't remember what Hitman runs off of, if it runs off, like, Havoc or Unreal or anything like that. But they're going to use the engine that they're familiar with, and there's going to be some sameness because they're not about to spend a whole bunch of money on, you know, creating a entirely new look and feel. Now, can you do some interesting things with the same engine? Yeah, because if you told me that the same engine that does FIFA is also the same engine that does Jedi Fallen Order, I would call you crazy, but it's not. It's all Frostbite. Mm-hmm. So
I think my concern is, like, I want a good James Bond game, and I'm not sure that there is a good James Bond game. Like, GoldenEye is transformative. It changed the industry forever, but when you look at it, like, it's an okay game. Like, Perfect Dark is just a better version of it.
GoldenEye is a great game, but it being a James Bond game effectively doesn't really add anything to it.
Right.
It's just the license away from it. It's still a great shooter.
Exactly. So would it be like, is Nightfire really like the best James Bond game that we've had so far? And Nightfire is all right.
Here's what we need. I truly think for it to be successful, it has to be its own story. Like, it doesn't follow any movies. Maybe it's a continuation of a story. Maybe it's an in-between story or whatever. But it also needs kind of the mechanics, maybe not like exactly of this, but like the Arkham series, where it's kind of like, ooh, you know, it's maybe kind of a little bit of a beat 'em up. You have first-person shooter aspect, maybe like Uncharted a little bit. I think maybe that I could really be excited about, because it's, you know, it's all about the story. It's continuing. I could see a little bit of a beat 'em up action. I could see a little bit of a shooting moment. I think that would be exciting. But outside of that, if it's a straight first-person shooter, I'm out. It's boring.
See,
it's overplayed.
Here's what I actually think. I think you go two ways. I think you either do make it a first-person shooter and try to get back to glory days, or you slide over and you make it really hard, right? Because James Bond, when he does fight somebody hand to hand, it's like a big deal. So you could almost make it a Souls kind of game.
Right.
Okay.
Where there's, you know, these sort of Mass Effect style dialogue trees as you walk through towns and Monaco, you know, you go to Monte Carlo and you go to Monaco and stuff, and you talk to people and you try to seduce the femme fatales.
Yes,
stuff
there needs
like
to be
that.
Romance options.
Yes, that would be really cool.
And you seduce the femme fatales because that's part of James Bond, but like the combat itself should be actually very difficult because James Bond is a normal guy. So
yeah, for the most
I think
part.
You have all the Q gadgets and stuff, but at the end of the day, he's a normal guy.
I think the reason why I think a little bit of Batman is because of the gadgets. I feel like if the gadgets are front and center, which is why I'm kind of leaning away from the first-person shooter aspect. I don't like that. I want there to be driving involved. I want there to be, like, you know, a clicky pen that's also a grenade. I want, you know, just goofy things like that. I want all that cool aspects put into the game around a really good story that is unique to itself. Like, that's why I'm leaning towards the whole, like, Arkham series.
All right.
If you combined Arkham and Mass Effect, I think you could have a good James Bond game.
Okay. You know, I'd agree with that.
Well, I gotta tell you, if they combine Arkham and Mass Effect, I don't care what IP it is. That sounds like the greatest game I've ever played. I want that. All right. I'm actually gonna talk about Cyberpunk 2077. They have announced that they are going to have a streamer mode in the hopes of you all not getting DMCA'd when you try to play their game, which I think on its face is a very cool thing, and it's a very good call by them, but I hate that we're in the situation where this is necessitated.
You know what?
No, absolutely.
I'm going to give it 100% CD Projekt Red here, because this is exactly the kind of stuff I was talking about, like, I don't know, what was it, a week ago or earlier this week, when I was like, developers need to kind of come up with a way to help us. And this is exactly what the kind of stuff I was thinking of. They don't all have to do it. I'm not saying every developer needs to do this, but I'm loving the fact that they're trying. They're trying. They're putting in the effort.
This is completely absurd. This is a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound is what this is. This does nothing to address the actual issue of the music industry continuing to drag its feet on this, right? Because Cyberpunk has gone out of its way. They showed during the last Night City Wire, they've gone out of their way to create a really robust soundtrack.
Yeah.
A really, really, really great original score, all this stuff. They spent so much money on bringing in so many artists in order to create the soundtrack for this game that's supposed to be phenomenal, and everything I've heard of it, it sounds phenomenal. But you've done all this, and now you have to have an option in your game to shut all of it off. Now think about this. Could you imagine spending $100,000 on a car and never using one of the most important features of it?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It is absolutely stupid. And it's not CD Projekt Red's fault. I agree. I think this is a great thing for them to do as a developer, and it's forward thinking. But this is absolute trash that a developer has to think about this. And I'm sorry, if I was Twitch, or if I was any other streaming service, and I saw game developers doing stuff like that, I'd be embarrassed. And on top of that, if I was the music industry, I'd also be embarrassed, because music and video games are starting to become a very large discovery vehicle for music. You look at what FIFA does with its soundtrack, the 2K series, Madden, Grand Theft Auto. You think about all those games where music is linked to how you play and experience those games. This is so infuriating that this has to even happen.
Don't get me wrong. I 100% agree with you, but I'm putting on my marketing hat on. And as a developer, I have zero control over what the music industry does. I have zero control over what Twitch does. What I do have control over is what I can do. And so that's why I'm throwing a little bit of like, hey, think about this, to the developers. And clearly CD Projekt Red did. I love that. And because I hate relying on other people. Everyone knows this. I hate relying on other people. And I love the fact that a developer went ahead and was like, we're not going to rely on Twitch. We're not going to rely on anybody. I mean, it sucks a little bit that we have to nerf our own game, but this is like in some ways, this is that slap in the face to both Twitch and the music industry.
Do you not think, take a game like, I don't know, FF14, okay, where that music is now on Spotify, it is licensed by Square Enix, XYZ, and all that good stuff, right? Could you imagine if Twitch then says, okay, you have to cut all the music, which people will fight you over soaking soundtrack for Final Fantasy 14, and now you can't experience that. So first of all, at that point, if we're talking about how big streaming is to the games industry, okay, what if Square Enix goes, well, why are we paying Soken all this money? Well, why are we spending so much money on these soundtracks when, to be perfectly honest with you, when people stream it, they can't even hear them? So I look at it as, unless something is done, there is a strong possibility that a part of what we've come to love and enjoy about video games, being the music of video games, begins to become an afterthought, because it can't be a part of how we share video games, which is via streaming. I think this is a very dangerous precedent that could create a new paradigm in video games where music is just an afterthought. And I think that would suck. Like, for where we are right now and how good game music has become, I think that would be the worst, but I see it. I see somebody not wanting to spend millions of dollars on a soundtrack that a bunch of people aren't going to be able to hear.
Here's the difference, though. Like, I think that we're so fixated on the idea that every game's got to be streamed, and that's the only, it makes it seem like this is the only way people are ever going to like see or hear these things. But that's not true. Like, the whole idea of putting music and stuff in a video game is for the experience for the person playing the game, not necessarily for the Twitch user. No, that's the Twitch audience. I can't really agree with that.
But you can't ignore how important that streaming has become to the marketing of video games. You cannot ignore that. Among Us, a game that is like a bajillion years old, is nominated for a Game Awards this year because it got streamed a bunch. Flat out.
Yeah, I agree. But
it is a part of gaming that we're past it. Pandora's box is open. It is how people are going to be marketing video games. It is how people are going to be getting the word out about their games, getting the influencers, getting the streamers their games so they can stream it. And if you're not going to have the ability to share the music in that game, you're talking about something that is drastically reduced the experience of every video game that has been created. This is stupid. Period.
I don't disagree, but I don't know. I'm still the mindset that if a developer can control something, do it. And if it's a slap in the face to the two people who are kind of screwing everything up, that's an added bonus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking CD Projekt Red for making that decision. I just get angry about this whole thing, but that's going to be it for part one of Checkpoint Daily. We are going to return where we're going to talk about another big old corporate entity that's deciding to make sure their video game is a center of a big no fun zone. That's right. We're going to be talking about Nintendo coming up on Checkpoint.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find The Other Identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily from the crib. Joined by Callie Scales and Chad Callahan as usual. But don't forget, if you are a high school or a college student looking for a great college program, make sure you go to Looking for Group. Looking for Group is the only comprehensive database of collegiate esports programs where you can find out what schools are playing what you need to do to be eligible for the team, as well as what schools are giving away scholarships. So make sure you guys head over to lfgroup.gg and search for your future team today. Now, we got to talk about Nintendo, because usually when we talk about Nintendo, one of two things is, oh, Nintendo is so great and wonderful, and oh, Nintendo is a bunch of authoritarians who allow no one to touch their platform and actually hate all of their consumers.
There really is no middle ground, is there?
There's no middle ground with Nintendo. This one definitely falls square into the latter.
Yeah.
Now, I want to share this because, as you guys know, I love fighting games. I love the FGC. I think it is chronically underrepresented in all forms of games media. And today, this one went straight to the top of a lot of sites because the Big House, one of the largest Smash Brothers events in the year, happens usually right here in our backyard, downtown Detroit.
For those who don't know, Detroit is a big FGC city.
Yes.
Like, big South fighting game scene.
Huge fighting game scene, but specifically for Smash, Southeast Michigan is one of the epicenters of Smash on this side of the world, really. Alongside New York. Now, the thing is that the Big House is a in-person event. It is a part of a master tour of Smash events. And obviously, because of the pandemic, they were not allowed to host the live event. And so they were going to take it online, just like every other esports competition on the planet
Yep.
has done. Now, here is the problem. In order to play Smash Brothers Melee online, remember, Melee came out in 2001. This is not a game that had online connectivity.
Right, for the GameCube.
For the GameCube, you have to mod the game. And we all know modding for pretty much any Nintendo product is against all TOS. So before we get forward in this discussion, we have to straight out say that in order to mod that by modding this game and using Slippy, which is the program they use to play online, by doing that, they have violated the TOS. They're not allowed to do that. So before we get further in this conversation, off the rip, not allowed by Nintendo.
Correct.
Now, with that said, because of that, Big House essentially is canceled. It is a Smash-only event, and now that they can't play Smash, they've also been hit with a cease and desist for Ultimate as well.
Yep.
The event is over.
Right, so basically what happened, as I understand it, is Nintendo reached out and said, no, absolutely, you can't do that. They were pushing forward anyway, and so instead of just C&Ding out the Melee portion of the tournament, they were just slapped with a general C&D, and they're shut down.
Yep.
You know, okay, and so this is one of the situations where you look at both of them and go, this could have been done better. You could have done this better. You know what? I understand that Melee is very important, and it does suck that you'd have to cancel it, but at least you would have still had an Ultimate option if they would have just, you know, agreed to Nintendo's original agreement to where, like, yeah, I just do Ultimate. I understand Melee's got, like, the much different following, a bigger following to a degree. But,
more,
like,
loyal.
It's more loyal because it's been around longer. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But the way I see that, it's kind of like, come on, Big House, you don't completely be the victim here because you had an option, it seems like. But I haven't read everything on it, so maybe I'm wrong.
It's not that necessarily that they had an option. It's the fact that in order to have illegally copied and modded games and also running a illegal program to play the game online, I mean, it already has not shined a positive light on your organization.
Right.
And on top of that, you got hit with the stuff with Ultimate because, you know, Ultimate has, well-known horrendous net code.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people were modding and doing other things with Ultimate as well. Here's the thing. And Chad, you're absolutely right. They didn't do themselves any favors. Here's also a large problem is that, again, every single esport has found a way to continue outside of the FGC. And even now, the FGC for both Dragon Ball FighterZ and Street Fighter have figured out a way to play online. So they're continuing. Smash, we know, is one of the biggest games. The problem that I have with Nintendo's stance on this is that it is a freaking pandemic. The world has nobody alive has experienced this before.
Right. There is such a thing in this world as extenuating circumstances. As much as I know Nintendo hates that phrase, this isn't them trying to do this because we just wanted to open up to online play so that we could have more people come in and make more money. No, they're trying to run the tournament that they run every year and do it safely. And you're basically punishing them for trying to do it safely. And if Smash Ultimate's netcode wasn't ass, because it is, it's awful, I wouldn't have a shred of sympathy for the Big House, because Melee is old and busted, and I don't care what anyone says, who cares anymore, it's time to let that go, and Smash's Ultimate's netcode sucks. So I get why, idea of trying to run a tournament online for Ultimate as it is not palatable at all. At the end of the day, though, this feels an awful lot to me like, hey, sorry we fixed your game, Nintendo. Like, listen, we're trying to play during a pandemic. What do you want?
Right.
No, it does feel like that. But, you know, I think, again, here's the bigger issue. And I've said this about Smash before and about the Smash community, and this is a tough pill to swallow. But you guys keep playing their game. It's as simple as that. When I look at a game like Star Wars Battlefront, which had the entire Star Wars fandom behind it, and when it came out and the loot box controversy and all that stuff, people got up in arms.
Yep.
They walked away from the game. They said, I'm not playing it. People who didn't buy it said, I'm not buying it.
Yep.
And the people who did buy it said, we're not going to play. And they were forced to fix that game. Here's what I don't understand about Nintendo fans is that they have an inability to speak up for themselves. And first of all, the biggest thing you do is vote with your dollars. That's number one. But number two is everybody knows that the netcode for Ultimate is terrible. Everybody. So why are we running tournaments for it? And that's part of the problem is that Nintendo knows that they don't need this scene for Smash to be successful. Mm-hmm. Every other fighting game, the pro scene is inextricably linked to it. Most of that is because of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Street Fighter 4. The pro scenes revived those games, revived those genres, and brought fighting games back into the fore when talking about esports. But Nintendo does not need pro Smash in order for Smash to be successful. However, what they can do is have an entire segment of their community get really pissed off at them and completely spoil the rest of the bunch. And actions like this continue to do that. So if I was the Smash community, I would continue to say to them, well, okay, that's the case. Not only will we not play your game, we're not going to lobby for your game, and we're going to actively tell people not to buy your game mm-hmm. or your season passes or your DLC or whatever until you fix it. And we will completely ruin this community for you. And that sounds terrible, but that's the only way anything's going to get done.
I know. And one of the things, too, is like what Nintendo really benefits from is the lack of real good direct competition. Like at the end of the day, if Street Fighter got really, really terrible, you could go and learn to play Mortal Kombat or Tekken. You know, you could pick up another fighting mm-hmm. game. But like if you don't want to play Smash and that's the style of player you are, what are you going to go play? Like Brawlhalla?
I was going to say the only good alternative, and to be fair, it is a free alternative, is Brawlhalla. So you know what? It would be kind of an interesting thing. And I'm kind of shocked to a degree that we haven't seen the Fortnite version, which I guess would be the closest thing, I guess would be Brawlhalla, of Smash yet, that like took off and blew up and became an esport and things like that. I'm truly shocked about that.
Well, and Kelly brings up a good point, though, is because Riot is developing a fighting game, a 2D fighting game, that for all intents and purposes, they say is going to be free to play, just like all the rest of their stuff. And I think fighting games have a real problem on their hands, because if that fighting game is good, that's what everybody's about to play.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Problem is, why wouldn't they?
Well, it's not that. It's that it will be nothing like Smash. Smash is so different from every other fighting game on the market. Even so different from Brawlhalla, but it is so different that there is no way, there is no alternative, like Callie said. So if you take Smash away, that's an entire community that's just done. We see people like Sonic Fox and Kazunoko. We see them ebb and flow between all sorts of different fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody like, you know, somebody like MKLeo is not about to stop playing Smash to go and play Street Fighter. It's a completely different type of game. So if the Smash community falls apart, those players have nowhere to go. And to me, I feel like even though this sounds terrible, if the Smash community actually wants Nintendo to do something, they have to be willing to say we're okay with letting the community fall apart in order to get a developer that actually wants to support us.
Yeah, at some point you got to find the courage to stand up and say, like, listen, Nintendo, you don't get to destroy what you've built, especially because Nintendo didn't really build it. It is one of the more organic communities out there. But, like, yeah, you have to be willing to take that stand and say, nope, this is not acceptable, and we're going to go find something else to play.
Yeah, and, you know, we will see, but I think it just really sucks for the Smash community, because Smash does have a really great and organic community that has struggled with more than just gameplay stuff. It's had a number of scandals over the year. And it sucks that, you know, the Smash community can't seem to get a break this year. And I'm going to be honest, with Evo deciding not to have Smash because of netcode and other issues, and constantly having to fight Nintendo over, do we allow Melee? Do we not allow Melee? Are we allowed to do this and this with it? At a certain point, man, people are just going to say, whatever, the juice is not worth the squeeze. You don't give away enough money.
Mm-hmm.
The pro scene for Smash, unless something drastic happens, it's going to have real problems moving forward into 2021 as the pandemic continues, because I see everybody else doing what they're supposed to do in order to continue their competitions, and Nintendo just seems to be not interested.
Which I don't understand why, because I truly believe if Nintendo put the effort that Riot does behind Smash, they would make even way more money.
They don't see, Nintendo has never been about reinvesting into their game. They've never done that. They've never been the type of company to say, let's take a game and support it for like 10 years. They've never done that. And so, you know, the concept of an ongoing game is really kind of, you know, anathema to everything that Nintendo stands for, especially somebody like Miyamoto, who's very so games have beginning, middle, end.
Can I make a counter argument to the whole 10-year idea, though? We see this with Call of Duty, where it's a changing of games like every year or two. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, it's got to be like League of Legends, right, where it's the game itself and that's it. That's all we're going to focus on. It doesn't change. It doesn't, like, not a new title. It's not a new, you know, upgrade. No, it could just be the next level. Like, it could go from Melee they focus on to Ultimate to, you know, whatever the hell comes next.
No, you're
like,
right.
There's no reason that they couldn't do that.
No, you're right. And I agree. I don't think there's a good reason as to why they don't do it. But I honestly think the biggest reason is they just don't see the return on investment. I think they just say a pro scene is just a money waste, and why would we do it when we could just run a commercial? I think that's
perhaps how they feel. Perhaps at first, but I honestly think if, you know, and we've seen it with Riot, it could be a big game changer. That's all I'm going to say, Nintendo. No,
I agree, and Nintendo continues to sort of confound me when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I got no love for them as much as I, you know, like what they've done with the Switch. I think they continue to be on the wrong side of history when it comes to this. And I'm going to be honest, after seeing all the stuff going on with Smash, I haven't bought any new DLC. I've barely touched Smash. I don't want to play Smash. I'm demoralized when it comes to that game and that community. I just don't want to play. But anyway, that's going to be our show for today. We hope that everybody has, like, a great weekend. It's at least decent weather here, so I'm gonna enjoy the weekend. But we want everybody to be safe. Please wear your mask. If you're in a state where everything is sort of half shut down or shut down, please be safe. Don't disobey the stay at home orders or the gathering orders. The more people than ever are dying from this virus, and most of them are elderly, but that doesn't mean that young people cannot die from it too. So if you have any caring for your older family members, for your loved ones, for the people around you, please wear a mask, please be careful, and do all the things that, you know, your medical professionals advise you to do in order to stay safe. So we hope you have a good weekend, a good safe weekend. And for Cali Scales and Chad Callahan, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.